A literary thought experiment on where the bell curve comes from. Consider a pinball machine with a field of staggered pins. Launch 32 balls, assuming a well-balanced board so that the ball has equal odds of falling right or left at any juncture when hitting a pin. Your expected outcome is that many balls will land in the center columns, and that the number of balls will decrease as you move to the columns away from the center. Next, consider a gedanken, a thought experiment. A man flips a coin, and after each toss, he takes a step to the left or a step to the right, depending on whether the coin came up heads or tails. This is called the random walk, but it doesn't necessarily concern itself with walking. You could identically say that instead of taking a step to the left or to the right, you would win or lose $1 at every turn, and you'll keep track of the cumulative amount that you have in your pocket. Assume that I set you up in a legal wager where the odds are neither in your favor nor against you. Flip a coin. Heads, you make $1. Tails, you lose $1. At the first flip, you'll either win or lose. At the second flip, the number of possible outcomes doubles. Case 1, win-win. Case 2, win-lose. Case 3, lose-win. Case 4, lose-lose. Each of these cases has equivalent odds. The combination of a single win and a single loss has an incidence twice as high because cases 2 and 3, win-lose and lose-win, amount to the same outcome. And that's the key for the Gaussian. So much in the middle washes out, and you'll see that there's a lot in the middle. So if you're playing for $1 a round, after 2 rounds you have a 25% chance of making or losing $2, but a 50% chance of breaking even. Let's do another round. The third flip again doubles the number of cases, so we face 8 possible outcomes. Case 1, it was win-win in the second flip, branches out into win-win-win and win-win-lose. We add a win or lose to the end of each of the previous results. Case 2 branches out into win-lose-win and win-lose-lose. Case 3 branches out into lose-win-win and lose-win-lose. Case 4 branches out into lose-lose-win and lose-lose-lose. We now have 8 cases, all equally likely. Note that again, you can group the middling outcomes where a win cancels out a loss. In Galton's Quincunx, situations where the ball falls left and then falls right, or vice versa, dominate, so you end up with plenty in the middle. The net, or cumulative, is the following. 1, 3 wins. 2, 2 wins, 1 loss, net 1 win. 3, 2 wins, 1 loss, net 1 win. 4, 1 win, 2 losses, net 1 loss. 5, 2 wins, 1 loss, net 1 win. 6, 2 losses, 1 win, net 1 loss. 7, 2 losses, 1 win, net 1 loss. And finally, 8, 3 losses. Out of the 8 cases, the case of 3 wins occurs once. The case of 3 losses occurs once. The case of 1 net loss, 1 win, 2 losses, occurs 3 times. The case of 1 net win, 1 loss, 2 wins, occurs 3 times. Play one more round, the fourth. There'll be 16 equally likely outcomes. You'll have 1 case of 4 wins, 1 case of 4 losses, 4 cases of 2 wins, 4 cases of 2 losses, and 6 break-even cases. Such was the concept behind the Quincunx, its name is derived from the Latin for 5, used by Francis Galton. Galton was both insufficiently lazy and a bit too innocent of mathematics. Instead of building a Quincunx, he could have worked with simpler algebra, or perhaps undertaken a thought experiment like this one.